It is such a joy to be here at Christ United Methodist Church with you. What a privilege to be able to speak about my precious Lord to folks that I've grown up with, folks that I have new acquaintances with. Every time I come back here, there are new people I've never seen before, and that's a good thing. That's exciting. God is working. God is doing a work at Christ United Methodist Church. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I do. And I see today, oh wow, how cool was that? All those instruments? And Bill's doing such a great job on the piano and the guitar and the keyboard and the guitars and the, oh my goodness, how exciting. We never had that when I was here. I guess we weren't as talented then as they are today, so that's good. How exciting to see what God is doing. God has given you a wonderful man of God who speaks to you the word of truth, and you are blessed to have him. I'm so glad to hear some amens. I'm thankful for what God is doing in this church today. But you know what? Today, as they talked to me about coming, I began to think back about my life growing up in this church, and I think as I share some memories with you, you're going to remember some of these very same things. Now, some of you who are brand new, I'm sorry. You missed out on all of those things. But you know what? You are making the memories for the next generation. You are a great cloud of witnesses that people are watching. My life has been filled with many significant moments, and many of those significant moments took place right here. Right here at the altar, right here with other people in Sunday school class and in youth group. And over the years, people who have made an impact on my life. And it all began as a baby because my mother began bringing me when I was a babe in arms. And you know what? If you've been here long, the last 60 years, you used to see the Barretts traipse down, usually late, but we were here, all the way to the front row, or not the front row, the third pew. That was the Barrett pew. Now, I'm sorry that we were late because we live so far away. My husband says, you know what? Church starts at 9:30 and they leave the house at 9:30. Hello. So my husband is one of these that early is on time and on time is late. So he was not real impressed with that time frame of us. But she had us in church every time the doors were open. My mom got saved when my brothers were little. And from the time she was saved, she had us in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There was never a time in my life I remember waking up and saying on Sunday morning, Mom, do you think we'll go to church today? That never came up at my house because you knew when you woke up, unless you were sick or half dead, you were going to church. And you better get ready with one bathroom. And six people, how did we make it? But God helped us somehow. And we were 2 or 3 minutes late usually. But we made it. And you have to admit that you saw consistency. Maybe we were late, but we were consistently late. I had a preacher friend one time that came to our church for a homecoming. And my husband was talking to him, and he said, now, we started with a relatively, you know, mediocre, small crowd. He said, now, there'll be some who always come in late. And the speaker said, do they come in every week that way? And he said, oh, yes. He said, well, they're not coming in late. They're coming exactly when they decide to come. Hello. Well, you know what? That consistency made a real difference in my life because it set a pattern in my life that church is important. It's not just one of the things we did as a family. It was the thing we did as a family. And you know, on those reunion Sundays, oh, well, we would come to church and then we went to reunion in Lima, Ohio. My mother didn't think it was really that important for us to get there right on time when the meal started because then we would miss church. So we came to church, then we drove to Lima, Ohio. My family will attest to that. Because church, God, serving God, was important to my mother. And she passed that on to her children, that it's important. Well, you know, thinking back over the years, I can think about several people in this church, many, many people, who have made an impact on my life. Who can you think of? I'd like for you to say out loud, people who have made an impact on your life in the days gone by in this church.
Franklin's Difference.
Lily Green.
Eva Swartz.
Howard.
Otis Vardaman.
Howard Price.
Mrs. Hill.
Donnie Blair Shoemaker.
Come on, somebody besides the Barretts. I'm sorry?
Who taught you to play the piano?
Lucille Stifler, and I'm going to talk about that in just a minute.
There's
yes.
Famer Main.
Larry McKee. Old and young Famer.
Yeah.
Mrs. Main, they were here all the time.
Ames.
Lily Green. Helen Maddie.
Martha and John Stevenson.
See, can't you just think of so many people that had an impact on your life from this church in the days gone by? Scripture bears evidence to the fact, witness to the fact, that there is that great cloud of witnesses is important in our lives. Those are people who have made a difference in our lives. In Hebrews chapter 11, the writer tells all about many people of faith. I'm not going to read that chapter to you because it's so long. But it talks about person after person. It talks about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses' parents and Moses and Rahab and Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets and the three Hebrew children. It goes on in chapter 11 about people of faith. And then let me read to you, or you read with me, chapter 12, Hebrews, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses because of Abraham and Isaac and Joseph and Moses and all of those people that he talks about in chapter 11, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. I submit to you this morning that just as we have this great cloud of witnesses listed in chapter 11, and you should read it sometime because it's an encouragement to your faith of what God did in these people's lives because they had faith, that you are the great cloud of witnesses for the next generation to come. And the people that we talked about this morning were the great cloud of witnesses for me and my generation. Because guess what? Even though they're dead, they still speak of their faith. We still speak about their faith. Each of us is making a really big impact on lives. And whether we know it or not, it's an important thing, the way we live our lives. Now, we know that heaven awaits us. That's our eternal reward, is heaven in the sweet by and by. My son says there will be no gospel singers in heaven because all they sing about is heaven. And once you get there, what's there to sing about? Getting to heaven is what they sing about. So once they get there, what do they have to sing about? So I really think there will be some good quartets there, don't you? They'll just have to find a new song is all I can figure, or change the words. But my husband says this, and I think it's a really good analogy, that life is like a sundae. And it can be your favorite kind of sundae, chocolate or butterscotch or strawberry or whatever. But life is that sundae. And the cherry on the top is heaven. The reward in the end is just that little cherry on the top. The life that we get to live for Jesus right now is the Sunday. The exciting life that we have in Jesus Christ, giving us joy and peace that the world knows nothing about. There is no place you can go to get that joy and peace except through Jesus. And as I look back over those people that made an impact on my life, I think about what they did that impacted my life. Now, you know what? I can't mention everybody that you mentioned this morning, but let me just mention a few that made an impact on me and has helped me to be able to do the things that God has allowed me to do. I watched my mom at home, on her day-to-day basis, you know, washing, cleaning, cooking, all of those things. But you know what I saw her do that really made an impact on my life? There were two different things that really made a serious impact on my life. One was when the evangelists came to hold a week's revival, she'd fix a meal and they would come to our house. I got to meet them one-on-one. I probably didn't have much to say. I knew you would get that. But I met them. I got to know people like Bert Reed and Dr. Westerfield. And one very special evangelist that made a difference in my life was Edna Bauer Hughes, because I was saved under her ministry. Thank God for people like that who give their lives. And thank God for people like my mother, who she didn't even realize, she didn't have the insight, I don't think, at that time, that what a difference that would make in my life to get to know those people one-on-one as she fed them. And it helped them, too, because my mom was a great cook, I'm sure. And so we watched her. That made an impact on my life. Also, I watched her take care of my grandpa in the home when he got sick. I watched her take care of my grandma when she got sick. She was the best nurse. She missed her calling of not being a nurse, but she nursed about 7 kids along the way and sometimes their children. And so that made an impact on my life. It made an impact on my life that when I would get up in the morning after Dad had gone to work, it was not uncommon to find Mom sitting at the kitchen table reading her scriptures before we got up to start our day. That was consistent in her life. People are watching you. They're watching you at home, and they're watching you at church, and they're watching you at Walmart. Wherever you go, they're watching you. And if they come to church with you, they want to see whether you are the same at Walmart as you are at the church. They want to see if you're the same at your business life as you are at the church. Because that's what Christians are. We're just different. And I watched when I came to church to see if my Sunday school teacher came to church other than just Sunday morning. Was my youth leader there? Was it important for them to be in church? If it was important for them, then it was probably important for me. I watched these people. I watched Betty Lynn clean the church. That was not just a job for her or for Hester Beckett. That was a ministry to her, to them. It was something they did for the Lord. I watched Franklin Stiffer, we all knew him as Tink, lead the singing week after week after week. How many of you remember Franklin Stiffer giving it? Of course you do. He was the best worship leader of all time, hymn singer of all time. Did he have the best voice in the world? No. But he loved the Lord, and he loved to sing. And you could tell it by the way he led the music. You know, while he was leading, he couldn't have done half as well if Lucille hadn't been on the piano. And speaking of Lucille, I owe her a wonderful, huge debt of gratitude. Not only did she teach me how to play the piano, I wish I could play as well as she did. I learned many things from Lucille, and it wasn't all piano. I watched Lucille's life, and she showed me what it was like to be a Christian, a consistent Christian. The most important thing Lucille taught me, besides showing me her Christian walk, was how to play hymns. You know, a lot of people can play concert pianist, but if you put a hymn in front of them, they're lost and don't have a clue. God knew I was going to need to play hymns for nearly 40 years already in churches where we went one after the other. And Lucille was a master at playing hymns, and she taught me how to play hymns. I will forever be indebted to her. I also listened to Donna Gilkinson play, and Donna and Lucille taught me how to accompany people. Instead of playing along and making people follow you as a pianist, it's the big difference to be able to listen and play along with people who are singing. And they taught me that. Donna Gilkison let anybody who wanted to sing in the choir have mercy. And you know what? One year she was brave enough to teach us the Hallelujah Chorus. I have worked with choirs in many several churches. Even in Africa, I worked with choirs. And I just wonder how many times she went home at night and said, "Oh, dear Lord Jesus, why did I ever start this? I'm just not sure they'll ever get this." But you know what? She did not show us that. She patiently helped us along the way, and we worked time after time after time. And Mildred Shaw played beautifully that music that I wouldn't even want to look at. But she played it beautifully. And you know, we had a great team of music people in those days. Alice Williamson and she could play anything. And we had Joyce Pearson has played, and Henrietta Shaw played, and Mildred Shaw played, and Lucille played, and oh my goodness, you know what? I have been in churches where I was the only one who could play. We have been so blessed in this church. God has been so good to us. But they didn't just play instruments. That was their ministry. And it showed that it was their ministry. I watched Reverend Hill give sermons week after week after week. Brother Campbell was here when I was really little, but I really don't remember much about him. But I remember Reverend Hill. He was consistent as the day is long. He didn't just preach from the pulpit. You know what? I can only tell you a couple different things that impressed me about specific things that I remember from Reverend Hill's messages. But I remember the sermons he preached by his life day in and day out. You never saw Reverend Hill anywhere that he did not exemplify Christ. And he did that here in the church and treated us all the same and loved us greatly and would call on my father and I day in and day out. And I know that my dad could see Jesus in Reverend Hill. We all did. And his wife, Helen, which we only called Mrs. Hill, was right there beside him, encouraging him and helping him. And did she not make the best ham loaf in the world? She also gave me some timely advice about altar work that I have never forgotten, and I've used it over and over in my ministry. Now, you know, there was a couple that lived right next door to us that had a great impact on my life. Gerald and Jean Edwards. They didn't just come to church with me. They lived next door. In fact, I ran away to their house one time. And they watched over me, and I'm sure they called my mom and dad and told them where I was. But you know what? They had those big archways at their house. Archway cookies, have you ever had them? I thought they must be the best thing in the world. The only thing we had at our house was those old homemade things. And I learned, you know, from them, they were loving and kind. They were Christ-like examples. And by the way, I did learn that homemade was much better than Archway over the way. I learned to respect them, to watch their lives because Christ worked through them and lived through them. And they're long gone now, and I still have times when I think about the times I sat in church and Jean would sit beside me and rub my hand. You don't think she was trying to keep me quiet, do you? I'm sure she probably was. But it made me feel so special. And I would watch her at home and see that she was a Christ-like example. Martha Umberger was my junior high school teacher. Now, the reason I'm telling you some of these stories is because I hope you'll apply them. And some of you people who are teachers now will apply these to your life and make this kind of difference in someone else's life. Martha Umberger was not only my teacher, but she took me home for dinner one time, and I can still tell you that we had baked chicken. It was the best baked chicken I ever had, and my mother made pretty good baked chicken. But it wasn't really the baked chicken. It was because she took time for me. And we sat on the front porch, and we were swinging, and we were talking. I will never forget that special time with Martha Umberger. She became so special to me because she took time for me and showed me that not only did she love me, but Jesus loved me. Eva Swartz studied and studied and studied to give our classes in the young adult class. She was a pillar in this church. Thamer Main was my junior high school teacher. You remember that, Thamer? He taught us to think outside the box. Imagine that. He also taught us, you know, one thing I remember you told us, read the Proverbs over and over and over because Proverbs will give you wisdom for life. Thamer made an impact on my life. Martha Umberger made an impact on my life. Martha and John Stevenson was our youth leaders, and they made an impact on my life. They didn't just teach us at church. They took us to their home. They took us to Winona Lake, and we had a Youth for Christ workshop there. You know, when they took us into their home, they were showing us that they loved us. They took time for us, and they showed us how important it was for us to love Jesus by being in their home. Well, you know what? I could go on and on, but I'm not going to. There are so many people that have made an impact on my life, and I know there are people who have made an impact on your life. The point of all this is that it is so important. Who would have thought that as we live our lives day in and day out, just trying to do what we do on a daily basis, that it would make a difference in anyone's life but my own? Or maybe my family who watches me. But I can tell you that when you're at Walmart, people are watching you. When you're at your place of business, people are watching you. When people come to church, they look for you because you make an impact on their life. We're all playing a role in other people's lives. Sometimes they're watching us more closely than we want them to. And that should be a challenge to us to be all God wants us to be, so that when people watch us, they don't see us, but they see Jesus working in us. One more thing I want to share with you. I've been studying Romans this year in my devotions, and one of the commentators I'm reading after is named William Barclay. And I was reading the other day, and this just jumped out at me and made an impression on me, and I thought, this is so perfect for homecoming. He said, every one of us lives to some extent on the spiritual capital of the past. None of us is self-made. We are what godly parents and ancestors have made us. And even if we strayed far away and shamed our heritage, we cannot totally part ourselves from the goodness and fidelity that makes us what we are. The past has made a difference in my life. I hope my present is making a difference in someone else's life. I have now been in the ministry 39 years serving the Lord. My husband and I have pastored 8 churches. We've been associates in 5 churches, and we've served on the mission field in Kenya, Africa. That's because I had a great foundation in this church. That's because I learned about Jesus in this church. And I learned that it's not just knowing about Jesus, it's knowing Jesus. There's more to serving Jesus than knowing about him, but actually knowing him. Even many of you have played a special part in my ministry. You have prayed for us, and we still need that prayer. I wouldn't be the person I am today without all, not that that's such a cool thing, by the way, but I do love the Lord with all of my heart. And it's just because of the heritage that I have that we have been able to accomplish the many things that God has been able to do. And it's all been God. There are so many witnesses in this church that have impacted my life. Each of us is an ambassador for Christ. How we live that life is going to make a difference in someone else's life. For the good or for the bad. We can be an influence that will help others come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Who knows how many lives you'll impact? I'd like to close with a song that I'd like you to sing the chorus with me that I first heard in this church. And it was one of the milestones in my life. The chorus really touched my heart and said that I could never, ever outlove the Lord. I couldn't do anything that would really compare with what he's done for me. I heard that in this church for the first time. And it impacted my life, and I said, I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. I'm going to live the way he wants me to live. I'm going to make mistakes, and I've made many, and I am not perfect. But I'm perfect in heart, serving the Lord, and trying my best to be all he wants me to be. So if I've injured you over the years, I really am sorry. Because my goal in life is not to make enemies, but to make Christ-like disciples. I'd love for you to sing this song with me. I'm going to live the way he wants me to live. I'm going to give until there's just no more to give. Are you willing to do that in this self-serving society today? We need to get our priorities straight and give and live for Christ. Thank you for all you've done in my life. And thank you to your parents who made an impact on my life. And thank you so much for letting me come and share with you today. Would you stand with me as we sing this song together?